Morning, everybody. Morning. Yeah. For those who don't know me, my name is Andrew. Yeah. Hi, Tim. I'm a member of Courage Up East Dulwich, but I'm just part of the team. You know who serves in here. Been here since it started, and my wife Deborah, she's with the children youth ministry at this moment in time, and today I've been asked just to share something. So, before I start, I was wondering, what am I going to share? So, I've been spending a bit of time with the Lord for the last 2 weeks. And, the Lord's given me something to share, which I'm going to share out of the book of Peter, 1 Peter. But before I share, right, we'll just pray first anyway, right, before we start, just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the wonderful privilege and opportunity, Lord, just to be used by you, Lord, to just share your word. I thank you for what you have deposited unto me in your word in 1 Peter, Lord. Help me, Lord, to communicate that clearly and effectively, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak to each and every heart in here, Lord. And I pray, Father, that our minds and our hearts, Lord, would be focused upon you, Lord. May our soul focus be upon the cross and the work of the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just commit this time unto you. And, Lord, feed your flock, feed your sheep, Lord, and just be glorified in the midst of us. Amen. All right. Sorry. Thanks, Tim. That better, yeah? That all right? All right, thanks. Yeah. All right, I want to get you in a place where I want you to try and imagine first, right? So, we all live our lives in London, however we live it. But, in here, most of us, if not all of us, we're all professing Christians, right? So just imagine as professing Christians, whether you're in school, whether you're in work, wherever you live, you're going through trials, people are like hearing you, you're a person who believes in Jesus Christ, You're trying to share the gospel, Family members probably figuring, nah, I don't want none of that, At your workplace, You're probably hearing them speak a lot of vile talk and saying, oh, Jesus, when they're non-believers. And even worse than that, imagine you encounter real struggles where you're getting persecuted, right? To the extent where, you're seeing some horrific things happen to people around you, even in the church. And, you decide to exit outside of London to go somewhere else, Just imagine what that might be like. We all go through various trials already. And sometimes that can be hard enough to deal with still, Sometimes we might be bewildered. But just imagine you was going through real intense persecution, right? And you departed out of London still. Just try and picture what that might look like, How you may be discouraged, how you might be feeling low, and how you might be feeling dejected. All right, so that's just a picture I want you all to try and imagine. If you can't imagine it, hopefully as we go through this text, hopefully I can find a way to make it applicable that you can actually get a picture of what's going on, right? So we're going to look in the book of Peter. If you all go to 1 Peter 1. And basically, 1 Peter 1 is about Peter. He's writing a letter to predominantly the Jewish Christians alike, who dispersed out of Rome. And as what I was just trying to communicate to you, a lot of the Jewish Christians, they have been experiencing a lot of persecution, a lot of trials and so forth. And they've left Jerusalem, and pretty much so some of them could really be discouraged and bewildered that they've entered into a new faith. And they're experiencing great difficulties and great trials, right? So Peter is writing this letter to communicate to them, hoping to encourage them and give them great hope. And I think it's really going to speak a lot to us also, right? So we're going to read through. I'm just going to go through the first 12 verses, and then we'll go back through them, and we'll see what he's communicating, all right? So we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. I'm going to read. So it starts, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, right? Yep. 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. There's two books of Peter, but we're in the first book of Peter, right? It's after the book of James. Yeah. We're there? Everybody here? Amen? All right, 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Yeah? Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Amen. All right. So there we have, right, the first chapter I've just read of Peter sending out his letter to the elect, the pilgrims. And as we see, right, we're just going to go for it. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter makes himself known to the pilgrims who is writing his letter. And no doubt, I could imagine they would have probably heard about Peter. Peter was one of the founders of the early churches. So, you know, as an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, just look at Peter. What do we know about Peter? We know Peter had a brother called Andrew, right? And it was his brother Andrew listened to John the Baptist. And, you know, he was heard about Christ. And when he saw Christ come, he was the one who called his brother Peter. And Peter came along, right, to meet Christ Jesus. And, you know, when Jesus met Simon was his name at the time. That's what he's introduced, right? When Jesus met Simon, he called him Cephas, which that's a name in Aramaic, right? Yeah, forgive my pronunciation, right? Yeah, that's in Aramaic, all right? And likewise, Peter, Cephas, right? Peter. But the meaning of that name, it's a meaning, right? Both of the names, Cephas or Peter, it means rock, all right? Yeah. So with that name, I suppose I could say that, you know what I mean? You see, Jesus gives us names. Jesus gave him that name, right? And we do know later on, I believe in Matthew 16, that, you know, he says to Jesus, upon that rock, I'll bring my church. You know what I mean? So, you see, Jesus can look at us, each and everyone in here, as he did at Peter anyway. At that time, Peter just come to know Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus gave him a name because Jesus saw Peter in a way that Peter didn't see himself at that moment in time, right? So we kind of get that from it, right? Yeah, it's a glimpse of, you know what I mean, what he would be. Peter, he was from Bethsaida, right? Bethsaida, right? Yeah, you'll see that in John 1:44. But he lived in Capernaum. You'll see that in the book of Mark, right? Peter was also married, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that's some of the things we know about him. He was in one of the close circles with Jesus, with the 12 disciples, you know what I mean? Peter was pretty close to Jesus, you know, experienced some great things, you know what I mean? He witnessed some miraculous signs that Jesus did. And as we know again, you know what I mean? He was really privileged to like step out of the boat and walk on water until he took his eyes off Jesus, you know? So we know some of those things about Peter. We also know Peter, the same as us, right? In Matthew 26:33, Peter said to Jesus, right, that even if all are made to stumble because of you, talking about the disciples, you know what I mean? He said, I will never be made to stumble. So, you know, we might identify sometime we say some things, but we go on to see that in John 18, as you're going through the book of John with Pastor P, right? You've probably gone past 18 already and see that Peter denied Jesus three times. Yeah, so though he says, you know what I mean, I want me to stumble, he denied him three times, you know what I mean? But, you know, by turning and repenting, we do know in Matthew, when he did deny Jesus, he wept bitterly. So, you know, I'll take that. You know, if you do weep bitterly, I'm going to take that. You're pretty much in a place of repentance, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we do know with that, he repented. And Peter went on to be, you know, he went on to preach and teach with boldness. And he was perceived as uneducated and trained, as like myself, I can identify with that, you know what I mean, yeah? But, you know, God still used him still anyway, right? And we do know that in Galatians 2:9, right, he was one of the pillars of the early church. So, you know, when Peter just, you know, starting this letter as an apostle, I would hope that, you know, those who received the letter, you know, in the early first century, you know, when Christ was crucified, they probably would have heard about Peter, you know, and some of the things that, you know, he experienced when he was walking with the Lord. And I think with that as well, you know, if we look at Peter, we can see he was a normal man like us. We know he was bold, he was brash, you know, we know, you know, even took his sword out and or a knife, and he went to cut off one of the guard's ears, dear, you know. So, you know, some of us can relate with things like that. We could be bold at times and not really think in the right way and do things that, you know, doesn't glorify the Lord. But at the same time, you know, some of us, again, likewise, again, possibly in places, we may not have opened our mouth to declare that, you know, Jesus is Lord. We might have been around a lot of sinners and they're blasphemous speaking things about the Lord, and you know, we're pretty much a quiet still, so pretty much they'd imagine that we joined sides with them, you know what I mean? So we sometimes pretty much could deny the Lord, but you know, with that turning and repenting, you know what I mean, which you can just be encouraged, the Lord does have a plan, you know, for everyone's life, you know what I mean? And we see that start to unfold with Peter's, you know. So that's his introduction, right? Then he addresses it, as he says, to the pilgrims, right, of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Pilgrims is like sojourners, they're travellers, you know. So, you know, they don't really call this their permanent home, they're travelling. And as we do know throughout Scripture, that, you know, they're looking for a place that they can call their home, which, you know, hopefully that's our focus as well, you know what I mean? Where we are temporarily, yeah, we get comfortable and it is nice, but ultimately still, you know what I mean, we're sojourners still, you know, as Tina, she come over the pond, you know what I mean, and she's in London now still, you know what I mean, so that's a great change, you know what I mean, and likewise, you know what I mean, sometimes things may happen in our life, or sometimes there might be a calling and we will go somewhere else, but yeah, just be encouraged. As long as, you know what I mean, as long as we're close to the Lord, we'll be able to acknowledge that we're only on this earth temporarily still, yeah? But the dispersion is just like disperse, you know what I mean? People will disperse. And, you know, in those places that I've just said, you can call them provinces or regions. Just to have an idea of province or regions, it's like, say, like London, we're in here. But anything outside of the capital is different regions, you know, Hertfordshire, Bedfordshire, various other places, you know. Though in this text, obviously, they was in Jerusalem, so they travelled distance, you know what I mean, yeah? If I take it they travelled on foot, they would have travelled through Syria, you know what I mean, because that continent is much more bigger. And Asia Minor, these provinces or regions, what I've just read there, right, they was in Asia Minor. Asia Minor, the present day today, that's called Turkey. So that's where they went from Jerusalem into Turkey, into provinces or regions around there, right? That's what they went through. And the reasons for the dispersion, you know, we may have heard about talks of persecutions and so forth, but, you know, there was an Emperor Nero at Emperor Nero. Yeah, Emperor Nero at the time, right? Emperor Nero, who, you know, is an emperor. And there is some stories, you know what I mean? I read a few things from some from historians and so forth. But, you know what I mean? Based on biblical evidence, you know what I mean? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, right? We will read from Hebrews chapter 11, maybe verse 30 onwards, right? You can see and get a picture of some of the persecutions that was going on. As I said, I've read some of what the historians say, but there again, you know, some of their readings, other people may have commented and said that they was really bias or they really had a dislike for Nero, so maybe they hyped it up and said that they was writing the worst things about him, and you know what I mean? So whether it's true or what, I don't know, but we'll go to what the Bible says. And in Hebrews chapter 11, as I said, maybe from verse 30 on or whatever, it will tell you these are some of the things that they was going through. So like, we praise God we're in England, and we might not be experiencing that right now still, but you know what I mean? We know his children, they go through great persecution. So in Hebrews anyway, for them to disperse out of Jerusalem, it was a reason, because that was their land. That was their place. That's where they was at, you know what I mean, yeah? But Jesus came, you know what I mean? He turned things upside down, point them to the living God, you know what I mean? And like, a lot of people didn't like that. They weren't bowing down to Caesar, you know what I mean? So persecution came. And some of the things it tells you in Hebrews, it tells you some of the people were tortured. I know, what kind of torture? I'm not kind of sure, but torture's not something that I really want to go through, you? Yeah, torture is, you know what I mean? That's torturing still. You know, torture can be any form. That's getting you to submit and, you know, do something against your will. Torturing is something really gruesome, right? But they were tortured. They suffered mocking. Yeah, what form did that look like? But you know what I mean? You can imagine someone really mock you and put you down, you know what I mean? And probably this is a group of people, you know what I mean, bombarding you, you know? You might experience that in school. You might experience that, as I said, likewise in a community, you know what I mean? People might be against you and just really mocking you, right? They suffered flogging. You can see flogging, wow, you know what I mean? So that's going to leave some scars on your back. And even chains and imprisonment, yeah? We know Paul, Peter, you know what I mean? They was imprisoned, likewise, you know what I mean? And likewise, again, they were stoned. We know Stephen in the book of Acts, when he was ministering, he was speaking about the Lord. They came against him and they stoned him. So these are some of the things they was experiencing, yeah? And it tells you that they were sawn in two, yeah? Sawn in two. So, you know what I mean? These are some of the things that was happening. They were killed with swords. Yeah? So, you know, it tells you they went about in skins of sheep and goats, being destitute, afflicted and mistreated. So that means they just went about, you know what I mean? And probably their thoughts, which it should be, is on the Lord, finding out what's going to happen. So this is a kind of picture, and these are the things that they experienced in Jerusalem. So as I said, thank God we're not experiencing that in London, right? You're experiencing that in London, you know what I mean? You know your close friends, people in your church, you know they've been sawed in half, they're taken to prison, they're getting flogged, they're getting mocked, yeah? You may well think twice as well and figure, boy, I'm moving up to Scotland or somewhere else, yeah? That is what happened, all right? That's the situation, you know? You've got family members, you probably figure, I need to protect my family, I need to protect my wife, I need to protect my thing. So that is the picture, do you get it? That is what's happening, right? So that's why people, the dispersion, they disperse and left out of Jerusalem and moved on. All right. So this is what they done. All right. Peter, though, he acknowledges this situation, you know, because he, as a person himself, had experienced them things. He was no stranger to those things, yeah? He knew about affliction, as we read throughout the Gospels and everything. You know, he's been imprisoned and you know, he experienced that firsthand from Jesus Christ. So, you know, whether it was an encouragement to him or the Holy Spirit uplifted him and just caused him to go forward. But he would fully know how to pick up his cross and follow Christ. And that's the same thing that we're told, to pick up our cross and follow Christ daily. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. You can see Peter goes on now in verse 2, right? I'd say he's encouraging them, yeah? He calls them the elect, right? Elect is chosen, yeah? So you're God's elect, you're chosen, you know? It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So elect, they're chosen, yeah? Likewise, you know, we can relate with that, yeah? We're predestined. All those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour and know their Lord, you were predestined. Yeah? God revealed himself to you. So you are predestined to do his good works. So that is something to bring them to a place, hopefully, that they can get a focus now on a bit of a bigger picture, you know, and take themselves off of the temporal situation. They are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So God knows them. That just hopefully encourages them, and that's something that they can focus on and take their eye off of all the misery and what's going on. In sanctification of the Spirit, it's the Spirit working in them to sanctify them, you know, and that's the same thing that it does to us, yeah? If you read the book of Romans, chapter 6 or chapter 8, right, that would give you a good idea and tell you about sanctification, tell you the condition of man and, you know what I mean, how God is working in us and we need to get to this place, you know what I mean? But, you know, that is a process of the regenerated man. But as I said, Romans 6 to 8 will give you a picture of the sanctification process and the sprinkling blood of Jesus Christ. You know, he died on the cross. His blood was shed for our sin. And that's a wonderful picture of a gracious, a wonderful and a loving Father, a loving God who desires us to come into fellowship with him. All right. So that's what he done. Right. You know, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He set us apart unto him. So, you know, that's something, as I said, that we mustn't forget. And that's something that he's brought to light to them. Ephesians 1 to 4, it tells you, you know, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, again, that verse hopefully would edify them, encourage them in Christ Jesus. And you can see it goes on to say, grace to you and peace be multiplied. What does that look like? I mean, God's grace, something we know that we don't deserve. We know we deserve his wrath, but he's been gracious and merciful towards us. Sometimes, you know, we might say it or I might say it and don't really focus on it. But if I sit and I meditate and think on that, as I said, if we look at the pilgrims, if we look at his elect, they've dispersed and left their homeland and they've gone into a region with different dialects and different tongues. But yet still, Paul is encouraging them, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Some of us might figure, how do I have that peace? You know what I mean? And have that peace, you know what I mean? I've got trials going on, you know what I mean, yeah? People really getting on my nerves or, you know what I mean? My situation is really challenging, but yet still, you know, God's grace is with you and his peace been multiplied to you. We just need to realise that and acknowledge that, yeah? Take ourselves out of, you know, we're in the world, but not of the world. At the same time, we're in a kingdom. We're in God's spiritual kingdom. Yeah, so we just need to focus on that and realise that and rest in that instead of fighting it. Yeah? Sorry? We're in the world, right? Yeah, but we're not of the world. So he's saying like Maria, you know, grace to you and peace be multiplied. So likewise, there might be turmoil going on, Maria. There might be a lot of things going on, but yet still, the hope is that you focus and know that God loves you. God is there right with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. These things are going to still happen and happen around you because we're in a fallen world, fallen society, you know what I mean? And a lot of things are happening still. There's a battle going on, right? But at the same time, we need to take hold of and rest and trust that God's grace is with us, yeah? And his peace be multiplied to us. So, it's to focus on that. It's to meditate upon that and let the Lord reveal to us what that looks like and cause our hearts to be still in him. More so, be still and know that he is God. Yeah? Because he is God and he's not left us alone. Amen. Yeah? He's a wonderful God. All right, we go on now still, right? So he's building up. So you see, he's introduced himself. Yeah? He's acknowledged who he's writing to. He's related with them. He's gone on. So we go to 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection, to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Yes, so is abundant mercy. Look, it's a picture of, again, of God's abundant mercy. What's abundant? Abundant, right, is it's adequate. It's more than enough, right? It's over-sufficient. It's well-supplied or even overflowing. Abundant is abundance, yeah? You just got more than you need. But that's what God's got. He's got more than what we can need. He's got more than what we need, but yet still, he sheds his abundant mercy upon us. And that is because, you know, as I said, we don't get what we deserve, yeah, which is the wrath of God, because of his abundant mercy, what he sheds upon us, right? And where it says in the New King James, it says, begotten us again to a living hope. In other versions of the Bible, maybe the ESV, it says, he has caused us to be born again, or the NIV, it might say, he has given us a new birth to a living hope, right? So you see, because of God's abundant mercy towards us, all right, he has begotten us again, or he's given us, he's caused us to be born again. See, he's revealed himself to them as likewise he's done that to us and brought us to a place of living hope. We have a living hope. Amen. Yeah. Okay. If you don't know Christ, I suppose, all right, your living hope is doing the best you can do and dealing with circumstances accordingly, the best to your knowledge, with all that you've been taught, with the best of your intellect. And, you know, I meet some people and I talk to them. I try and find out from their perspective what is life about. Yeah, I'm sure we've all heard many different people say on various scales, various level, they live, they do the best that they can, they try not to hurt nobody, that's fine. That's good, makes sense, but I'm always kind of want to find out, all right, when life finishes, you know what I mean, yeah? I always personally want to find out, because that's good, because, you know, I fully acknowledge, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there in the world. Some people don't seem fortunate like other people. Some people are born in situations where it seems pretty much grim. You know, they might not be as fortunate as probably we might be. You know, they're born into some situation where, yeah, it's pretty much grim. And, you know, if you just live, you do the best you can, then life's over. I can understand from some of their perspective if they don't want to live now and they might do the things that they do. It's not right, but I'm saying I can understand that thinking, yeah? So as I said now, right, you know, for us to have a living hope, we go beyond the realm of death in terms of on this earth, you know what I mean, yeah? So we live, but our living hope is that we will have eternity, yeah? So it starts even now. We can practice that even right now, you know. But as I said, if you're not in Christ, yeah, you live, you do your best. And likewise, as I said, I spoke to a few people, I asked them, and they can't really give me an answer to what happens when they die. They have to stop there. So with all their knowledge and with all their wisdom, they usually just stop there. And, you know, I'll stop there with them. Well, I will go on if they allow me to go on. But you know what I mean? If they allow me. But I just said, to me, as I said, see, that's the problem, yeah? It's okay you live, but life has to have a purpose and a meaning, yeah? Because, you know, one day we know dust to dust. And what happens there, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so as I'm saying now, here now, you know, they're encouraged despite all what they're going through and all what we're going through. We do have a living hope, right? And that's in Christ Jesus, right? So, you know, for us, for them, we can consider the goodness and the love of God that he has towards us, that, you know, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And with that, what comes with that, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So what do we know about inheritance? We do know usually inheritance on here on earth, you know what I mean? A family member, maybe a grandparent or our parents, you know, or even somebody close to the family might figure, yes, you know what I mean? I want to leave this to such and such, you know what I mean? That's an inheritance. Somebody passes something on to you, you know, and some of us maybe, you know what I mean? It's a nice thing if you've got an inheritance, you know what I mean? You kind of look forward to that still. You have to keep your balance because, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can't wait for that, you know, you figure I'd like that now still. No, it's the truth, isn't it? You know what I mean? An inheritance is like something someone's passing on to you, and we all know still we have to battle with certain things, the flesh as well, because usually we want it now, you know what I mean? And we want it now, and you know, if you've got an inheritance, you know, you can imagine what you could do with that. That's just part of the battle you go through personally, you know. But you see, On here on earth, inheritance comes to you when someone dies. But the opposite, in God's kingdom, you step into your inheritance when you depart off this earth. You know, so that's the difference. And then these inheritance that we have there is temporal. You know what I mean? We can look after it and preserve it for a while, but then you usually pass it on to somebody else, another family member. But, you know, what we're seeing here still is despite everything that we're going through, and less more so in this text, you know what I mean? Everything that the pilgrims, the elects are going through, hopefully reading this letter, having them receiving this letter, it helps them to get a focus on what God has done and prepared for them. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's wonderful, you know. I will say, I love God. I mean, let's say we all love God, because we know he loved us first. But truly, I can stand here and I say I love God. And I say that because I know what a rotten person I am, a sinner. I know that. I know God knows that. I'm saved by his grace, but I am a sinner. You know what I mean? I struggle. I go through battles. But I can say I love God, man, because I know how gracious he is to me. Yeah, that's a personal testimony, right? Because I know when I slip, I fall and everything. I come back. Lord, forgive me. You know what I mean? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. He is merciful. Trust me. You know what I mean? Praise God, though. You know what I mean? You know, you come back, you repent sincerely. You know what I mean? It is wonderful because it's him who's working in us to do his will and his good pleasure, right? And I know my vulnerabilities, my frailties, and I know my weaknesses. But I thank God he revealed himself to us in a way that, you know what I mean, we can really take him for who he is. Yeah, so that's a wonderful inheritance. And, yeah, it's something to really focus on. So no matter where we might be today, yeah, he has a wonderful inheritance, us. He really does. Look at this picture, right? I mean, you know, look at this picture, right? Revelation chapter 21, verse 21. It's talking about the New Jerusalem, right? But it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I mean, no billionaire, you know what I mean, on this planet still, they're not up to the standard. You can't come up to the standard of what God's kingdom is. Yeah, but, you know, I don't even know. We can really conceive and imagine all that, you know what I mean? A street of gold, clear like glass. How pure is that? Eh? A gate, pearl. One pearl as well. So this must be like a cliff or a rock, one going gate. But, you know, as I said, you know, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, right? But, you know, as I said, really, our focus needs to be on the Lord, right? I'm going to come to shortly the battles that we have to contend with on a daily basis, right? But you see, as he's writing the letter and speaking to them, it's to get their focus on the bigger picture, yeah? To get their focus on the bigger picture. So be encouraged. Likewise, there is an inheritance waiting for you. But to get to that inheritance, we're going to go on and see. All right, yeah. So stepping into verse 5 now, we're going to see now, right? Verse 5, he's told them about all these things. Yeah, he told them about, you know what I mean, you know, God's grace and his peace be multiplied to them. Blessed be God the Father, you know, he's begotten us again, you know what I mean, to this hope, living hope in Christ Jesus. And with that comes the inheritance, you know what I mean? So you get all of those things. And verse 5, it shows now, right? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that's clear. That is clear. You're kept how? By the power of God. Yeah, you're kept by the power of God, right? Through what? Faith. Through faith. That's how you stepped into Christ, right? Yeah, you heard, you believed. You didn't see him, did you? But you believed, right? That was faith. Yeah, and you continue like that. So that's clear, right? You know what I mean? Likewise, again, you know, for them, for us, who are kept by the power of God. So we're not kept for our own doing. Yeah, we're not kept through our wisdom. We're not kept for our smartness, our education, you know what I mean? Our status. We're not kept through our status, right? It's by the power of God. We need to acknowledge that. It's the power of God, right? It's God is able to do things. A lot of us sitting in here, we don't know everybody's background, where we come from and what we've done. But it's the Lord that transformed you and done what he'd done in you. You just believed and you just hoped. But he transformed you and has you sitting in here because he'd done a work years ago. No, a lot of us probably would not be sitting in here, would not identify. But he has you sitting here. That's the power of God communicating to you, working in you to do his will and his good pleasure. But who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be moved in the last time. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about faith, right? Yeah? So we know it's the power of God, yeah? So we know Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by, and hearing by, amen. It's important we know that still, right? It is important we know that still, you know what I mean? We read our Bibles ourselves, you know what I mean? We listen to people minister or teach, you know what I mean? It's important because your faith comes by hearing. So if you're not reading your word, if you're not listening to the word of God, you're going to be challenged, all right? Because it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how your faith comes. God has given us each a measure of faith. He's given that to us. That needs to grow. And we know if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, hey, all right? So Romans 10:12, right? That's faith comes by hearing, hear by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, because those who come to him, to God, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? And I'm going through these because I said I think they're very important, right? They're very important to me still, right? As I said, it helps me to grow and all there, right? It really does, you know what I mean? Because whatever I'm going through, right, I've got to believe, you know what I mean, yeah? That I've got to believe as it says, right? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So whatever I'm going through, if I don't have faith in God, how am I going to get through the situation, yeah? So whatever I'm going through, I have to have faith in God. And I need to come to him believing that he is God and know that he will reward me as I diligently seek him. As I fellowship, as I continue in prayer, as I read the Bible, you know what I mean? As I seek him, yeah, he will reward me, yeah? He will show himself to you, to show you that that's right, my son, that's right, my daughter. Yeah, you're trusting me, you're coming to me. I'll show myself to you. That's what he does. That's what he does, right, yeah? 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk and not by sight. Okay? Right? Yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight. So likewise again, you know what I mean? I'm saying it here now still. As I said, if we look back in this text, right? The pilgrims, the elect, you know what I mean? That could be pretty grim for them, you know what I mean? They get run out of Jerusalem. They've gone to different regions and everything. People speak in different languages and everything. Still the Roman Empire is all about and things are still going about still, you know what I mean? Yeah, persecution. And looking at that, that can be pretty much grim still. It's like, you know what I mean? You know, that's not a nice picture. It's not a nice picture. So you see what I'm trying to say? You walk by faith, though, not by sight. Because when you look at the sight, it can hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. It can hinder you from doing what you know you should do. And it's the same for even us right now still, you know? Things might not look the way we want it to look, so you don't walk by faith. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So God's word says do certain things, so you need to walk according to what God's word told you to do. Step out and do. And then God will show himself, and he gets all the glory. Amen. Then you know it weren't that, you know, my degree, not knocking degrees and everything, I ain't got one, like, you know what I mean? But like, I'm not, sorry. But like, you know what I mean, right? It's a very good thing to have. But I'm just trying to say still, you know what I mean? Sometimes we do have to have a little check still, yeah? Because, you know, some of us are very skilled and qualified, and that's very good. But as I said, sometimes we can miss it and realise, yeah, well, I know I'm qualified. This is what I've done. This is what I've achieved. Yeah. As I said, like me, still just the basics in school. So I give the glory to God still, you know what I mean? Because he took me on a nice trip and I know I can't credit that to myself, right? But it's the same with all of us still, yeah? What we have, we give back to the Lord and we know you've got us, we know you've got us there, right? Yeah. So as I said now, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? And two more. Hebrews 11:1, I'll help you. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Amen. You're all up to speed now then, right? Yeah, that's good. Praise God. Praise God. You're good there, right? So that's cool then still. So you see, likewise, again, there's things that you hope for, but you can't see it. Right? So that's good. You know that. So you exercise your faith there. Whatever your situation, you know what I mean? You continue, you exercise. You can't see it, but you hope for it. You know what I mean? So it's a substance. Hope for it and pray. And then last one, I just on that faith now, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. All right. So Jesus, the perfect example, right? Jesus, the perfect example in all of that, right? Yeah. So we know we are kept by the power of God. All right. Ready for salvation. We're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But it's the power of God through faith, and through faith, that mustard seed faith, God will do wonderful and amazing things. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstances, no matter where you are. And yes, we do know, we can see biblically, people go through some harsh times. So, you know, if we're going through harsh times, let's just endure and carry our cross. Yeah, just carry our cross, because God still loves you. God is still there. He's right by your side. Yeah, he's right by your side. You know, I can even think myself, how could I go through some of these things? You know, in Hebrews, well, some people were tortured and all that, Hebrews, right? Hebrews 11. But they didn't even want to get released because it said, like, let me see that quickly, right? Hebrews, right? Destitute, delivered, not accepting deliverance that they might. Yeah, Hebrews 11, 35. Listen to this, right? Yeah, I'm reading part B. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Could any one of us sit in here do that? No, mate. No. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, possibly, yeah? Because I'm sure they're the same as us, yeah? But, you know, I don't know, figuring focus really on Christ, I don't know what that looks like, but they're tortured and they're not accepting release. But, you know, faith, man, you focus on Christ, things can, you know what I mean, you focus on Christ and you're empowered by his Holy Spirit, right? We'd probably be amazed what God would do within our lives. Right, so remember that faith. All right, he goes on to that now still. So they acknowledge, right, it's the power of God. It's not their power. They need to just keep a focus on him. And it's the same for us. We just need to keep a focus, right? So Peter encourages them with the power of God for salvation. And we also need to be mindful of God's power, which keeps us through faith in him alone. Right. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So you see, that's something to rejoice about, right? That we just read there. Yeah. You know, God's elect. Yeah. You know, we're being sanctified by the Spirit. Yeah. And, you know, God's grace and his peace. Blessed be God who's begotten us again. He's chosen us again to this living hope. We hear about the inheritance reserved for us in heaven. And we know we're kept by the power of God. That's something to rejoice about. That is something to rejoice about. But, you know, to balance out with them and to relate with them, the reality, what's going on now. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. How long is a little while? How long is a little while? Well, it does, you know what I mean? I know for God still, right? A day's like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like one day to God. He's outside of time. So, you know what I mean? When these things, a little while, you might see things like this. How long's a little while? I mean, if I say, I've seen a little while, Trace, you probably think today, you'll be back today, you'll see me a little while. But, you know what I mean? Little while here, I don't know how long that time space is, right? But, you see, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And trials, Trials come in many shapes and many forms. Yeah, we know trials. We might look at trials in a way of kind of testing, or we might know primarily trial might be in a court. Yeah, we're a formal examination of a person or evidence by a judge in a courtroom, court setting, typically before a jury, in order to decide guilt or innocence in case of a criminal or civil proceeds. Yeah, a trial might be a testing of a performance, qualities or suitability of someone or something. So, you know, as in the text, various trials, they're going through various things, but it's called trials. It's clearly to do with their faith, as we're going to see in verse 7, but it's trials, and it's something that we experience and we go through as well. For us, trials, their trials, we see some of the trials, they're tortured in prison, you know, rejection, mocking, flogging and everything. And as I said, I'll probably say, praise God, we are not at that stage where we experience those things. We do know our fellow brothers and sisters globally in other countries around the world who desires to go out there and evangelize and glorify Christ Jesus. You know, in some countries they're taken and they're put in prison for preaching Christ Jesus. Some of them are beheaded. Some of them are tortured. You know, that's our faithful brother and sisters who has a desire and are led to go to those places. Once again, you know, I know we're going to, you know, realistically, we don't want to know. The Lord says, Joyce, I want you to go to China. All right? Yeah? You know, you want to hear that clearly still, and that's when you get up and move. But I suppose we're not really doing that unless we hear the Lord says that clearly. And if we did, we might wrestle for a while. But, you know, faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, that's what he requires. That's what he would say. But anyway, some of the trials that we go through anyway, right? You know, as I said, might take it from there a bit, but some of our trials, try and make it applicable to us, right? Yeah. We as a church body, as believers in Christ Jesus, we definitely have trials. One of them, we have battles against the world, this world system, you know what I mean, yeah? I say the world system against our faith, so that's a battle still, right? The world system and our faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We know that's Satan, you know what I mean, the prince of the power of the airways. We know the media. Yeah, more than glorify God still, you know what I mean? The prince of the power of the ears will get them to put on all kind of things, try and teach our children and adults all kind of things, fornication, you know what I mean, blasphemous things, you know what I mean? That's what the prince of the airways promoting out there, you know what I mean, yeah? We know in school, in professional settings, you know what I mean, yeah? That people will talk all kind of things. In my workplace, you know what I mean, a lot, like, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? Like, do you know Jesus then? You know what I mean? But I have to find ways to challenge that and talk to them because it grieves me. It grieves me. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And you tell them decently, respectful, because you know what I mean? I have good relations with my colleague in work. I can, you know what I mean? Tell them and that. And they say, oh, sorry, didn't that offend you or whatever? Another 2 weeks. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? They're saying it and everything. That grieves me. So, you know, as I said, you have battles in the world. You know what I mean? You have battles all over. You know what I mean? With what the world's trying to tell you, how you should do things, how you should deal with situations. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get diluted because, again, now we might not be listening to enough of the word, where faith comes up by hearing and hearing by the word of God still. You know what I mean? We hear the word in part, but, like, you know what I mean? It's not gone down deep into our hearts still. So we're compromise with some things in the world, with what some philosophies or what people say or what the mainstream people are doing, and we mingle that with a bit of God's word and everything, and don't work. But you see, as I said, that's a battle that's going on, you know what I mean, yeah? The world and faith. Because faith, you know what I mean, likewise again, you can't do that. Can't do that. No, such and such tried that. You can't do that. Nah, never been done. Can't do that. You know what I mean? Have a look what God's word says. If God's word has spoken to you, you know, God's word says something about a situation, remember, faith comes by hearing and hear by the word of God. You walk by faith, not by sight. But that's only when you're hanging out with the Lord that the Lord really communicates and gets to you and speaks to you. And then you know the Lord has said this, you know what I mean? You don't have to get in no conflict with nobody. Yeah, I believe that. I'm walking by that. Yeah? I'm walking by that. But you have a battle. We have a battle with the world. I do. The style and everything, the fashion of the world, that looks good. You know what I mean? Try and blend in with them and everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the world. I mean, that's all right. Fashion and everything's cool. No problem with that. You know what I mean? That's cool. But I'm just trying to say, be mindful. We do have a battle. Yeah, that is one battle. Second again, with your flesh. Yeah? Your flesh. Flesh, standard, innit? You know what I mean, Bryce? Standard. My flesh will be like, you know what I mean? Yeah? Flesh, man, definitely. Psalms 51, verse 5. David says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Galatians chapter 5, 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you do not do the things that you wish. Because the battle's going on. The battle's going on, you know what I mean? The flesh, it has desires, it has feelings, yeah? You know? But, yeah, the word of God. The word of God. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. If you read that, that's going to help you to be built up and walk in the spirit, all right? So time's getting short now. I'm going to have to fly through, right? So as I said, that's a battle. Another battle again now. I'm just going to give you three battles still, basically. Yeah. Trials. You're just going to have basic trials, you know what I mean? Battles against Satan. Yeah, we see Satan from the book of Genesis, you know what I mean? And we know, like, you know, he's a liar and he's the father of it, yeah? John chapter 8, verse 44 tells us that, right? You know, Matthew 4, 3 tells us he's the tempter. So he's going to be tempting you. He's going to tell you, that looks good, try that. You know what I mean? How about this? How about that? Go that. Yes. Yeah, of course you need that. Of course you do. Yeah, I know you feel like that. So some of that is going to tempt you. He's doing that. He does that. But, you know, hey, Jesus tells us still to deal with that still, you know what I mean, in that battle against him. Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Amen. All right? So be aware of those three battles, all right? Yeah? Amen. Not everything you're going to say Satan, you know what I mean? You do have a battle with him, you contend, right? But you have a battle with your flesh as well. And against the worldly systems, so take note of those things, all right, yeah? And with these various trials, yeah, James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, you know? Surrender it to God and trust God. Know the battle is his, yeah? All right, I'm going to close up on verse 7, right, yeah? All right, verse 7 now. No, I shouldn't say that. Verse 7. All right, verse 7 now, right? So you see all these trials, these various trials, the purpose, intention of these various trials, according to this text in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you see, the purpose of these trials, let's look at gold now, right? Gold, you've got different qualities of gold. What's the highest quality of gold? 24 carat. 24 carat is classed as, right, that's pure gold, 100% gold. Or you know, 100% gold, meaning there's no traces of other metals, yeah? Other carats like 18 carat, 9 carat, 14 carat and all that, right? They mix them with silver and copper and certain things to make it strong. Because gold is very soft, you know what I mean, pure gold. You see the Olympics when you see them have it in their mouth like... and everything, they say, yeah, test it. They say test it, yeah, because usually gold is so soft and everything that really you can at least get a little print in there. And probably pure gold as well. After time, you grab your medallion or whatever, it would start rubbing. You get some gold on your chest, but it would wear over time. You know what I mean, yeah? But, you know, for real. So with gold now, I just say, right, with gold, to get gold to start melting, right, it starts at a temperature of excess of 1,000 degrees Celsius or 1,900 Fahrenheit just to get gold to start melting, you know what I mean, yeah? And they do that, you know, obviously they extract gold from many places, but you need to melt it and you need to heat it so you can get rid of the impurities, the dross off it and everything, the impurities, then you get pure gold. Or as I said, you can mix it to get different quality, but 24 carat is the purest gold and everything, right? Now, you see, it uses that as a picture, so we can have a picture about gold. If we understand that picture, same with our life then, yeah? Faith, God's looking at his children, faith, my children of faith, yeah? Okay, right, some trials are coming up, Yeah? You go through various trials, but you see, it's to show the genuineness of your faith. Because, you know, we all say things, Jesus is Lord, we love Lord, we do. But when we go through the trials, yeah, we know it's not easy, but it shows the genuineness of your faith. And that's why Peter's just, you know, as he's reminded them and encouraged them about, you know what I mean, about the regeneration, about, you know what I mean, God's gotten them to a hope in Christ Jesus, their inheritance. He's told them all those things. Then he's explaining to them about the things that they go through because it's the genuineness of their faith. And we know that example takes after Jesus Christ. Jesus went through this, which, you know what I mean, we can see now, right? Jesus went through that. And for you and for me, likewise, look at this. I know we're going through the book of John, right? You're at chapter 19 with Patrick or so, but we went through it with the youth and everything, right? So Jesus, going through his trials and everything, right? We know he didn't even too argue with them and everything, right? He was humble. But I think a nice little important thing, right, with this, right? In Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, right? We can see, obviously, they've trialed Jesus. They've flogged him and everything. That's a trial, you know what I mean? Didn't even stand up and, you know what I mean? Well, he did stand up, right? But as I said, he didn't really resist because he knew that was God's will for his life, right? But I think an important thing in this now, right, as I said, throughout his trial, right, and likewise for us when we go through trials, right, in Matthew 27, verse 33 to 34, it says, and when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is a place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. Gall is something... I read it, but like it's pretty hard to explain, but something like from your liver, something in there anyway, they extract from your liver and all that, gall, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, something like that, but yuck, I figure like yuck, right? Something like that, but gall and everything, right? Yeah, so something, as I said, the fluid somewhere from your liver and that, they mix that with wine. In Mark, it says, then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. So you see, they was offering him something to drink. So you see, in his trial, they was offering him something to drink. He tasted it, he's not drinking it. All right? Now, research shows, right, this thing what they was giving him, whether it was the gall or the myrrh mixed with wine still, right, it was like a sedative or considered like a narcotic, right, some kind of stimulant, right, offered to some being crucified. So before they're going to boom, boom on there, give you that little drink and everything and that, right, probably make you, you know what I mean, a little bit, you know what I mean, supposedly kind of stimulate you a bit, right, the intent is to decrease their sensitivity to the excruciating pain on the cross. Not that it would take it away, it wouldn't, but possibly, hopefully, maybe it might try and help some little stimulant. Now, Jesus refused that. With that, how much times when we go through trials do we consider and take some kind of stimulant, whatever that might look like? When we're going through our hard times, yeah? Just the lightest one, maybe a bit more wine, relax, you know what I mean? Put the mind at a place of ease. I'm not saying to condemn or whatever, I'm just giving a picture. I'm just saying Jesus is the example. But you see, he wouldn't take that. Other people going to that cross, give me as much as you can, you know what I mean? But like, you know, but Jesus weren't taking that, and he's our example. So I'm saying in our difficult moments, we all struggle with things, right, in various ways. And you know, I know even me, it can lead us to a place to something to kind of give me some release or something to just, you know. But no, Jesus is the example, man. And hopefully, you know, when we're mindful of all of these things, you know, likewise, again, the trials can come in many different places. It can be illness, sickness, emotional pain, you know what I mean? Teaching the children in the way they can go, even in marriages, you know what I mean? Trials, you know what I mean? Even being single, there's trials, you know what I mean? Yeah, rejection from family members, there's trials in that, you know what I mean? But with all of these things, God has a standard what we need to attain to. And then likewise, again, now, the Brexit, yeah? I'm hearing people talk, Christians and everything, the Brexit, this and this and that. Fine, whichever way you voted to the best of your ability, what you thought, fine. But for me, ultimately, and I voted as well, you know, and even I might figure, what did I do? But I voted with what information I had. And no matter what people say in this or that, I'm in God's kingdom. Amen. God has always provided for me. You know, if you listen to all of those things, remember the battle in the world, it gets shaky because people tell you this is going to rise and this is going to rise. So am I going to keep my money? I'm going to do things. Hear what? God has always provided for you. He is sufficient for you. Yeah, what you have is what he has given you. You're a steward. So, of course, play your part and do your best, right? But keep your eyes upon the Lord. Because if you don't, you're going to be shaky. You're going to be shaky. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Remember Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? So, coming up to conclusion now, right? I just summarize all of that. And likewise, I said Peter was encouraging those. And it's an also an encouragement to us, you know what I mean? No matter where we are. And, you know, yeah, he encourages them and he encourages us. Now, I would just say, remember, your world's not falling apart, all right? If it feels like your world's falling apart, meaning things seem like to be getting out of shape, out of place and everything, cry, your world is not falling apart. It could be possibly falling into place, all right, yeah? So you might feel the world's falling apart, but it could be falling into place, meaning, you know what I mean, just let go and trust in the Lord and let him put it into his right place for you. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we're trying to fix everything and do everything with our limited understanding, you know? But find trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. You know what I mean? You do have your part to play. Your part is to trust in the Lord. Know his word. Apply his word to your life. Trust in the Lord. Stand on his word. No matter the situation, you know what I mean? You know, some point, let go and, you know, let go and let God show you what's going on. And even if you can't see, but just let go and put your trust in him, you know what I mean? Because he could be putting your world into his right place. He could be bringing it into the place where it needs to be, right? He's on the throne. Stop holding on. Just be held. Yeah? Just, you know what I mean? Just be held. Just let him hold you, all right? Yeah? Keep your eyes on the cross and you'll know he loves you and he always will. Look to the cross. Look what he's done for you. He loves you and he always will love you. And with that, scripture, throughout scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is the focal point of scripture. We know Hebrews 10:7, Jesus said, "Then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." Number two, God's word is active. It's purposeful and effective. Isaiah 5:11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Number three, the word of God demands that we act by faith. It demands that we act by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hear by the word of God. So it demands that. Hebrews 4:2. "For indeed the gospel was preached..." Say that again. "For indeed, the gospel was preached to us," talking to those in the Hebrews, right, "as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mingled with faith in those who heard it." We don't want to be like that. We hear in God's word. Yeah, we want to mingle faith with it and act upon it, or it's not going to profit you nothing. You don't want to just be a hearer. You want to be a doer. For the word of God grows you up, builds you up. You eat food. How long has anybody in here gone without food? The longest. See, you haven't, have you? But like, you know what I mean? How long do we go without God's word? I mean, how long do we feed ourselves? It's okay. I mean, when we're babies, I know, like, mum give us the bottle and everything. But you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, but same way, as I said, we're spiritually different levels. Some of us just come in the kingdom or whatever soul, right? But a time has come where we must pick up the Bible, whatever. We must read God's word. We need to feed ourselves spiritually. We need to do that or you're going to remain malnutrition. You're going to starve spiritually. It's all right eating food. You know what I mean? Spiritually, you need to receive God's word. You need to. All right? And 1 Peter 2 tells you, "As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Finally, last one. We can be encouraged and comforted by the scriptures. Because Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So what we've just read today is so that, you know, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So whatever trials we might be going through, whatever shape, form, whatever they look like, it might not be as intense as what we've just been reading about what they experienced. But we all go through trials on a various level or form, right? We can have comfort through these scriptures because they were written for us as well. All right? So with that, Romans 15, verse 4. All right? So, you know, just want to say God loves everybody here. He really does, man. He's a father that did not want us to experience his wrath. It's like any parent in here or anyone who has close loved ones, you would not like your loved one or that child to experience that wrath. So instead, he came down to earth in the form of man to experience and take that wrath upon himself. He stood in our place. No parent would want their children to experience what you know would just, it would be detrimental to them. That's the kind of father that we have. And it's only through abiding in him and keeping close to him and reading his word that we get to see the love that he has for us. And no matter where we are, he's there with us. What I want to do now, right, before I play and just close with that, right, I would just like to play a song, right? Please, if you just lay back, just follow the words on the screen if you can see it, right? And hopefully the words will speak to you. Hopefully you will hear the words. If not, just follow the words, right? Because I think it just ties in with what I'm saying. Then I'm going to close with a prayer. All right? Bri, thank you very much, right? So, Father God, I do thank you, Lord, for... I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful fellowship, Lord. I thank you for this household, Lord, in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord... love us with such an everlasting love, Lord. And you are a God who desires us, Lord, to enter into your presence, Lord, to have communion with you, Lord, to have fellowship with you. Lord, we're so grateful for the price that you took upon yourself and paid, Father, that we could know you in an intimate way that you choose to reveal yourself unto us. Lord, I pray for each and every one of my family members, my family members in this congregation right now, Lord, you know their situation. You know all of our situations. You know what we're going through, despite how we look, Lord, or, you know, how we present ourselves, Father. You know where we are with you, Lord. Help us to truly, Father, grow in faith. Help us to truly, Lord, allow you to be the priority in our life, to be the first place in our life, Lord. Help us to make you the center of our lives. Lord, I pray that if anybody in here, Lord, doesn't quite know you in that personal and that intimate way, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself unto them, Lord, as the loving God that you are, as the Father that you are, Lord, as the God of mercy, the eternal God. So, Lord, I pray that as we prepare, Lord, just to, you know, just finish off, Lord, with a praise or worship song, Lord, continue, Lord, to speak to us through your word. And, Lord, help us to... you know, be doers of your word, not just hearers, but doers of all that you've spoken unto us today. Help us, Lord, at our lowest point. Help us in our trials, Lord. Help us in those things that we don't even know how to deal with them, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you are the one who will sanctify us. Just help us to believe in you. Help us to take hold of your word, Lord, and just stand on it. So, Lord, again, I do thank you for each and every one in here. I pray that you will bless their coming week, Lord. And I pray that you will help us all to be strong in you, Lord, and live a week, Lord, where we will know you as our God who has never left us or forsake us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.